The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree, and it's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome, everyone, to The On-Call Room. We're a Grey's Anatomy podcast, deep diving every single episode of Grey's Anatomy. Currently, we're on season 19, episodes 7 and 8. And if you haven't seen all of season 19, I would recommend you hit pause on the podcast, go back, watch all of Grey's in its entirety, and then come back, because we are a spoilers podcast.
It should only take you like a day to watch all of Grey's.
Yeah, because if you've made it this far, I assume you're almost through 19. I imagine you wouldn't just pick. Maybe you would. I don't know.
Maybe there's people who are listening to us talk about season 19 because they don't want to watch it.
That could also be. So if you don't care about spoilers, great. That's fine. You're welcome here too. But be warned. But welcome. We're so happy you're here.
If you'd like to support us, you can do so by going to patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can pledge to be an intern, resident, or an attending. One of the bonuses you get is if you are a $10 attending, you get our post-op, which is when we call time of death, we continue talking about a subject. Today, we are going to talk a little bit about Teddy getting the chief position and kind of comparing that between previous seasons when the chief position was being fought over. So if you care to hear our thoughts on that, you have to be a $10 attending. You also get bonus episodes. You get the episode a day early. You get ad-free. And you get a holiday mailing card, which is coming up soon. So become a patron.
Yeah. If you don't have the ability to support us in that way at this time, another great way to support us is to rate and review us anywhere you listen. 5 scalpels, please. 5 stars. We really appreciate it, and it's helpful for other people to find our podcast. So thanks for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, apologies if I sound weird today. Last week we were sick, which actually was just a couple days ago. I have a canker sore that is like, it's so painful, and it started the day after the football game we went to. I don't know if I just ate too much crappy food, like candy. I don't know, but I have that, and I just have not felt good today. So I ate dinner, and I'm pregnant, and there's just no room, so it's just air is coming up. So just apologies all around. I'm gross is what I'm trying to say.
I am feeling a lot better. I had a cold last week, but I just had a sneezing attack before we started recording. So I feel like I was thriving today, and then just like a dusty sneezing attack. And so now I feel like I'm talking really weird too. So we're both doing the best we can. And we're going to get through this just like we are getting through
always
season 19, you know.
I just have to say, today I put my dog on a treadmill. They are the people who we did dog training with are letting us borrow like this dog treadmill. It's like very tiny, and it has like sides because she's like, you're about to have a baby in the winter and your dog is like extremely energetic. And I know you're not going to want to like take him on a walk in those, you know, negative temperatures. And so they're letting us borrow it, which is so kind. And it's like really good for their brain too. Like it's like good mental exercise. So we're working our way up to a 20-minute window. But right now, like we did a 5-minute session, and then later we did an 8-minute session. And like eventually I will just be able to tie the leash to this little pole. Right now I'm holding it because sometimes he's like, okay, I'm done. And then he like runs off. But he loves it, and I give him treats while he does it, and it's so cute. He just looks like a little hamster on a wheel.
Dude, technology, man. Like, having a little dog treadmill, what an amazing idea, especially in the state of Michigan.
Right? That's what I'm saying. Like, I did take him on, like, a short walk this morning, but it was freaking cold out today, and it was like a shock to the system. But like, yeah, there will be days when it's raining or snowing that I don't want to go outside, and so this is like, I'm so excited. If we like it, we'll probably buy one. They're not that expensive. It's very small. It's kind of like those walking pads, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, so I'm just giving you the quick lowdown. That's what I did. I'm also listening to the Britney Spears audiobook.
Oh, how's
that? Which is so depressing. I mean, it's like, I mean, her life is so sad, like what happened. And also, like, she's just very aware of what happened, but also that, like, she wasn't well, you know, but like that no one helped her. It's just, it's really weird to listen to. I'm still like, did she write this? I'm sure it was ghostwritten.
Well, obviously, that's what I was going to ask, if there was a ghostwriter.
For sure there was. I've seen her captions. For sure someone else. Like, no, but I just mean truly, like, because it's very well written for, you know, comparatively. But I don't think that doesn't make it true. It's just really interesting. But it's a very sad. But I like to do audiobooks like that because then it's like a long podcast, you know?
Yeah, I should listen to that. I tried to listen to the Prince Harry one.
I got halfway through and then I gave up.
I never finished it either. No. That was one I just didn't care to finish. I don't know. Nothing against him, I guess. It didn't keep my attention.
Not at all. No. And unfortunately, Brittany does not read this. She reads like the intro, but Michelle Williams does. And I feel like she does it with like a Southern accent kind of.
Oh, nice.
So it like kind of sounds like her in some parts. But I don't know. I can't say that it's good, but it feels like pop culture-y, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Maybe I'll do it. But I don't want to buy it.
Kind of expensive. I wish I could lend it to you, but I don't think I can.
Yeah, that would be nice. I don't know. We'll think about it. Or I'll just put myself on the list at the library. It'll probably be 3 years like 5 years. Now. Uh-huh. Yeah, that'll be able to finally check it out. But whatever. And by that point, no one will care anymore about it. But I will have listened to it.
There you go.
Yeah. So we went to a Notre Dame game, everyone.
It was great.
It was really fun. I think I would go again, you know, sports.
I had a great time.
I did too. And then the next day we did some fall yard work. I think was maybe
to do that.
Yeah, one of our last like okay days to do it. And then I fucked up my knee and I can't walk very well.
And oh no.
I fucked it up last week and then it like I went to the chiropractor and got it taped and it like felt better. And then I was trying to plant tulips and I think I like jolted something around and like I can't walk upstairs well. I don't know. And it just is so annoying because I'm like, I'm not that old. Like, why is my knee like, it feels very arthritic. Yeah, I feel like
your knee gets fucked up often.
It does. I have a bad knee. So.
Oh, no.
I know, already a bad knee, and I just wish that wasn't true.
Do you remember when we were exciting?
Now I'm talking about having a bad knee. I was literally about to say, like, I was about to tell you, like, how I went to the grocery store today and that there were, like, gluten-free onion things. So I bought two packages instead of one because they sell out quickly. That is what I was about to talk about and then kind of forgot we have a podcast and we're not just, like, chatting on the phone right now. Chat about that on the phone is pretty lame. Like,
I would have gone into my doctor's appointment. Like there, that's it. That's all that life is right now is grocery stores, doctor appointments, and me being excited about a dog treadmill.
Yeah.
So that I don't have to walk.
I did. I will say I did buy this packaged like beef stroganoff gluten-free package thing. Like you buy the beef, but like, And yeah, I'm really excited. Like yeah. I'm really excited to try it. It's gluten-free, and we're going to have it for dinner this week. So I'll let you know, listeners.
Is it kind of like those, like, rice-a-roni packages that you add? Or, like, hamburger helper?
Like, hamburger helper. Yeah, but I think – but gluten-free pasta. So – because I can never do – yeah, right? Like, I can never get, like, a hamburger helper meal because I can't eat it. So just a quick little thing. It'll probably be awful, but I can't wait to try it.
I wish I was sponsored by HelloFresh because I got a notification the other day that I'm on my 155th box.
Wow.
I've used it for years and I just made a delicious dinner, but I only could eat half because then I started having – I just can't breathe. There's no room. So it's delicious though.
Speaking of dinners, I made yesterday butter chicken, homemade like Indian butter chicken, you know?
Was it as good as Pal's?
No, honestly, it was, I think. Ooh, it was probably okay. Their recipe. and I feel like I decided that I want to make it for you when you have the baby.
Ooh, that's a great. I would love that.
Yeah, because I feel like it's a very comforting dish.
The only thing we don't like in this household, we don't like chicken thigh, like brown meat. We just don't eat it.
Uh-huh. I get it. And this one called for either chicken thigh or chicken breast, and I made it with chicken breast because I didn't.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's – I'm planning on making that for you when you have your baby. That's what I was thinking today while eating leftovers. I was like, this would be like a really good meal to give to someone if you like Indian food.
I want you to make me your white chicken chili.
Oh, my God. I'm making that tomorrow for Halloween.
Perhaps also your lasagna. You have a lot of good meals.
I mean, I'll make all of them for you.
I made your white chicken chili, but it's always a little different every time depending on what salsa you use, you know? And it was okay. I liked it, but Jake didn't really eat very much and I was disappointed because it makes a shit ton.
It does. I wonder what he didn't like about it.
I don't know. Probably that it wasn't JW's.
Okay. Well, sorry about that, but...
I thought it was great. Also, probably because I put the chicken juice in there. It was just too watery.
Oh, yeah. You're supposed to drain that. But, I know. You know, it's okay.
I can't think about chicken juice.
Make you feel sick.
Also, there's certain words I can't say because I can't make that movement with my tongue. This is insane. I don't know how I'm going to get through this.
We're going to. And we have a huge monologue coming up, which...
I already voted out of it.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
– you take this.
I'm going to tackle it, and I think it's going to go really well. But –
you could also save the last – I was thinking the last part is Tessa's book. Mm-hmm. Like, is the end of her – oh, my God. There's the hiccups. Is the end of her book. So you could save that and read that part when we talk about Tessa.
No, I'm just going to plow through, I think.
Okay. Are you drinking wine? If so, tell me what kind.
Yeah, I actually am drinking wine. I'm drinking
Describe it to me.
A Kirkland Pinot Noir. It's
Hell yeah. It's out of the box?
No, actually, it's out of a bottle. It's very fruit forward, light, aromatic Pinot Noir. I don't know. I haven't had wine in a long time. And so, because I had a cold, and so... I don't know. I was like, we were recording and it just sounded nice. It's a really chilly day. I was like, I want a glass of red wine. And I can't wait to have another glass with you someday.
Soon.
Yeah.
Should we try to get into this?
Yeah. Let's take a quick break to hear from our listeners.
From our sponsors. Maybe there'll be sponsors. I hope it's a good ad, everyone. Enjoy.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, welcome back. Bree's going to take the monologue today. We're talking about season 19, episodes 7 and 8, I'll Follow the Sun and All-Star.
One of the greatest frustrations surgeons have are the unrealistic expectations of our patients. Whether they're actually ill or they've been sick for years, by the time they're on the surgical table, they're hoping for a miracle. But often, surgery is just the beginning of the healing rather than an end. Because for weeks or months post-op, people have to learn to live without the part of their body we've just removed. And that's not always easy, and it's never painless. So surgery is not the happily ever after our patients hope it will be. Like everything else in life, it's an evolution. I've flown rockets and slain dragons. I've saved lives, and I've had my life saved. I've saved lives, and I've had my life saved. I've been through broken bones and a broken home and the death of people I love, but I'm still here. I never chose the safety of what was known when there was the possibility of more to be discovered. I've had adventures that most people only dream about, and I've had losses that I still dream about. And if there's one thing I've learned in all of my adventures, it's that there's no such thing as a life lived happily ever after. Unless the happily means simply that we're still alive, that the sun is rising on another day. Because with every sunrise comes the possibility of happiness and also the possibility of heartache. And sometimes it's all rolled in together. I came to understand as a very young child that when the imagination is limitless, life's possibilities are endless. But I've learned the hard way. I learned it through yearning and frustration and ache and longing and sometimes desperation for a life different from the one I was living. I learned to stretch my imagination and spread my wings and allow for the options life had to offer. Not only the ones I could see with my eyes, I stretched for the ones I could feel with my heart. As long as the sun rises on your life, there will be new dragons to slay. So the end of my story is not any kind of ever after, because I'm still alive, I'm still here, and the sun still rises on my life. Meredith Grey.
You'd think the last monologue of Meredith Grey's, like of her being on the show, would be like less that. Okay. This is for the next one. It takes approximately 13 years of training in order to stand in an OR and cut into an actual human being without supervision. We need a college degree with close to perfect GPA and an excellent score on the MCATs to be lucky enough to be accepted into a med school. And then, after 4 years of med school, we face 60 months of surgical residency. We tell ourselves that the lives we touch and the people we help will make all sacrifices worthwhile. But until you've done it, there's no way to know for sure. Sometimes the things we fight hardest to achieve end up costing us the most. But it doesn't mean the effort was a waste. Every experience can teach us something if we choose to receive the lesson. But what we learn may completely surprise us. Meredith Grey.
Okie dokie. Shotgun workup. Arlo Fisher, truncus arteriosus, ventricular septal defect.
Jermaine Talbot, torn ACL, pulmonary embolism.
Jared Gillespie, constipation.
Sierra De Leon, pregnancy.
And all right, go ahead. Oh,
I'll take this one. I got it, Beej. Okay, this is the first round, everyone. It's Meredith's last day at Gray Sloan, and she starts it by getting into a fight with Nick. She tells Nick that she is upset that she told him she loved him and he didn't say it back. In the scrub room, after a heartbreaking loss of the author Tessa, Meredith mimes the pick me, choose me, love me speech that she gave to Derek and tells Nick that above all, she is going to pick her children, her career, and herself, and that she is not going to beg him to love her. The rest of the staff surprises Meredith with an impromptu cake and a total lack of speeches. And as she heads to the airport, Nick is at the bar where Helm tells him he's stupid not to go after her. He tries to make it to the airport but ends up calling her, and she ends up acting like she can't hear him. After she hangs up the phone on the airplane, she reads the final words of Tessa's book, which she is bringing to Boston to be published.
Maggie and Winston work together on an incredible surgery on a baby named Arlo, who is going to get a partial heart transplant. The mother of Arlo is nervous about the baby's survival, and with the help of Amelia, who talks to her about her son Christopher, she decides it's worth the risk. Mika?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Mika? Went to visit Helm at Joe's bar to get help. so she could pass the skills test and be invited into the surgery. The surgery is a success, and Mika is thrilled by the experience. Maggie and Winston are also so excited about their medical advancements, but things go south when they bring up their previous argument. Winston ends up calling Maggie cold and unemotional, and Maggie spends the night at Amelia's.
Teddy talks to Richard about becoming chief, and he says the only reason he didn't ask her is because it involves a lot of paperwork and it's a failing program, and he wasn't sure she would want it. She says she's willing to do it, and he gives her the job. She then uses the next day to negotiate a better pay raise, a stipend, and an assistant to make the job more bearable. Amelia comes in and acts like she wants the job to help Richard choose to give it to Teddy.
Mika's house gets towed, Lucas is living in a hostel, and Simone is having a hard time living with her grandma and her sister. Individually, they are all given keys to Meredith's old house and are told if they fix the hole in the attic, they can live there. Which, like, sidebar, how? We'll get there. Simone also tells Lucas that she was engaged, and she doesn't want him to just be the rebound. He says he's willing to do that as long as their label is clear. After Simone's difficult day in the OR with Jermaine Talbot, she finds Lucas in the elevator and makes out with him. And when they arrive back home, there's a new person there named Trey, who Mika let into the house. It's Simone's fiance.
Dun dun. Link has the opportunity to operate on Jermaine Talbot, aka the Tank, a player for the Seattle Seahawks. The ACL repair goes well until he has a heart complication after the surgery. Him and Winston rush into surgery and sadly are unable to save his life. The press are now saying that Link killed Jermaine, and when Link is home with Joe, drinking and being sad, he tries to make out with her and she pulls away.
All right, first notes.
Mine is Mika's house is towed. Doesn't she give you Christina vibes?
Yeah, I can totally see that, like, kind of a badass. And
the way that she's, like, obsessed with medicine and is, like, so inspired by it, like, after that surgery, I really enjoy seeing that again, because I feel like we haven't had a character that's just, like, she's not cutthroat. I don't know that she's, like, a shark, but she's, like, going these extra levels to be the best. And that is, a trait that I feel like we haven't had.
Yes, I would agree with that. Along with her house being towed, I said, seems like everyone is having a bad morning. People are late and people's house is burned down, which is just like not good for anyone. It just seems like everyone pouring into the hospital that morning, things were not going well for them.
I miss when Alex lived in a trailer.
I miss Alex. I mean,
especially when he lived in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
That was a good moment.
And then didn't that get towed also because he shouldn't have been just parked in the parking lot?
I think so. And that's when he ends up on Derek's land. But it's just so good. Okay, let's talk about the mayor of it all. It's her last episode. You'd think, like, back when we were podcasting, like, previous years, we always said, when mayor leaves, we're ending this shit. And this is her last episode, and it's just so non-eventful.
Yeah, it's – and I know we, did like a quick episode on this when it came out, when it was live. And I still feel the same way about it, that it just doesn't land. Like, for the whole arc and story of who Meredith Grey is, no one feels like true to their character. Like, even Bailey, like, we can talk about, like, not having a speech. Like, nothing feels like the characters that we've known for 19 seasons, you know?
No, and we know she comes back towards the end of the season again. And that, I will say, does feel more like what she's working on. But like, this was just advertised as this huge... It's her goodbye to Gray Sloan, and also, like, her leaving on a low, her patient dying was really interesting, such an interesting choice. Okay, so let's talk about the pick me, choose me, love me speech.
Yeah.
Because I don't necessarily – I think we're supposed to think, like, wow, what growth. You know what I mean? Like, she is picking herself, her children, her career. She's not begging someone to love her. And while I do think she kind of was begging Derek to choose her, I also think that was still just as vulnerable. Like, she was asking for what she wanted with him, you know, which is, like, so scary to put yourself out there and to be like – I'm not well, like, I want you to pick me. Like, that is braver than, like, saying, like, I'm good, you know? And then she's turned down also, which is, like, devastating. So I don't necessarily feel like I liked that it was a callback, but I don't know that I'm like, wow, she's so much better now. You know, I'm kind of like, she's kind of cold.
I would agree with that. Everything you just said in the vulnerability from the original Pick Me, Choose Me, Love Me, I still think that holds up. It's like emotional exposure, right? Of like, I'm going to open up my heart and tell you that I love you, and you might not say it back, but like, I'm going to do it. And that is living like a courageous life, whereas just being like, I get that she has kids she has to look out for now, right? And that she has a career and she is further along. I get all of that, but like, if she doesn't like feel like opening her heart in that way with Nick, then it's probably shouldn't be Nick, right? Like,
right.
Like, is that a great love story then for the two of them? I don't think so. I don't know.
No, and like him chasing her at the airport or to the airport, I feel like we've seen that happen in many things. Like, I'm thinking about Love Actually, the little boy, you know, like chasing the girl. Different because it's not romantic, but Pam trying to get to Michael before he leaves. Like, that trope has happened in other shows and has felt way more emotional. His felt so, it just didn't feel very sincere. And like, it also felt like he deserves better than someone that isn't considering him when she makes these big life choices. You know, like, they're just, I don't think they're right for each other.
I don't think they are either. And I have a note that, and it's when Nick is at the bar and Helm is giving that speech. And I have a note, is Meredith really that great? Like, everyone is just like, she's incredible. You're such an idiot for like, but is she that great? Like, I think Meredith in the past was really great. Like, I think like Meredith as a friend to Christina was really great, but like, and a friend to Alex was really great. But since like our main characters besides like Bailey and Richard left, like, I don't feel like we see that Meredith anymore, who's like,
no, and we just haven't really, because the COVID season she was in a coma,
right?
And like, then she was in Minnesota, right? Is that where the research was?
Yeah.
And she was with different characters. And then this one, she's in 7 episodes. Like, we haven't even like been given a chance to have seen her be a good friend, you know?
No, or even be a good teacher.
Right.
You know, like, she was like, a few seasons ago, she was like Medusa and like, she was a good teacher. And now she's just not, like, she's just not written into the storyline in a way that makes you feel like, wow, that's a really cool person, surgeon, friend, like, mentor. None of those things.
Yeah. And the whole like, her being like, oh, what? I can't hear you. Such a cop out. And then she's reading this, the end of Tessa's story, which is, you know, has so many references to the sun. Uh-huh. And like, the part, it could be written by Meredith when it says like, I've saved lives and I've had my life saved. I've been broken bones and a broken home and the death of people I love, but I'm still here. Like, all of those things are very true. She's lived this like crazy life. Like, so much has happened. But where she's at right now, I don't feel like inspired by. If there had been like a whole season of her and Simone being close and having some sort of like mentor-mentee relationship, maybe like, because those scenes, while like, obviously we're not even going to talk about the acting because it's just, we can't. But like, the idea, what they're trying to do there is really great, you know, but it's just so short-lived.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I'm having this feeling like, and maybe it's me holding on. Let me work this out here, okay? And maybe it's me holding on to, like, a previous idea of what Meredith was, like, when Derek was still alive. But it's kind of this, like, they fought for each other. They ended up with each other. They, like, right before he dies, they get in this huge fight. Like, their marriage might end. And then they, like, choose each other. So they choose to be together. And that's how their story ends, right? No one runs.
And this is like her running.
Well, yeah. And so then like she kind of like she heals and like we watch that storyline happen. But like, I don't know, something turns where like, how do I want to say this? Like for Christina, I feel like, you know, Christina is the sun, right? Like Christina is the sun. And then she gives that advice to Meredith. Like he's very dreamy, but he's not the sun. And like, I think Meredith like gets that, but also chooses to be in this marriage. And like, so this ending monologue of like, all about the sun and like it's all about me and I have new dragons to slay. I don't know. It just like doesn't align with me with my idea of who Meredith is, I guess. Yeah. Does that make sense? What I'm trying to connect here?
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it does to me. And also I think what never hits in this show, their children are often involved in the show. Like them being pregnant or having kids is always like a big part. But I like, and I do believe that, I mean, I'm not a mom officially yet, but like, I do believe that like Mare, it's very powerful in her and that her life priorities are so different. You know, she has three children, like that is that, but the show isn't about, it was about, if I say it's not about parents and their kids, obviously it was very much about Ellis and Meredith in the beginning and Richard and all that. But like, we don't know Meredith's kids. They're not main characters. Zola kind of is, but there's no depth there. So like for that to be this thing that drives her, I very much believe that in the real world, that's huge growth. And like, that's her life now. And that is what has to happen. But it like just doesn't hit the same for a TV show where unlike like it'd be like the show This Is Us. It's very clearly about the children and their parents.
Right.
They're the whole thing. But the children are sort of like an add-on to this medical show. You know?
Well, yes, exactly. Right. Like I almost wish they would not have. You made a really good point about the Zola thing. Like she just became a main character like in this season to write this storyline of like, oh, we have to move across the country. I would have rather had Meredith fly across the country and meet with Jackson, who asked her to come out and like do research for Alzheimer's. Like I could have gotten on board with that, but all of a sudden we're bringing in Zola and it just, you're right. It doesn't make sense for the TV show. It would make sense if it's real life, but it's not real life. It's TV. And it drives me crazy. It just...
Also, I hate it. I hated when Zola was like, my aunt is changing history. I was like, you're annoying.
Yeah, that kid... Well, also, I thought Zola had said last episode she didn't want to be a doctor. And then in this episode, she was like, I'm switching from neuro to cardio. I was like, Zola, you literally just said you wanted to go into robotics and you don't want to be a doctor.
I think that's like when kids say they want chicken tenders and then they don't.
Well... Zola should figure it out. She's 12. She should get her life figured out.
Yeah, it just wasn't emotional. That weird part where she looks around at everyone was just like so dumb. And she wouldn't be looking at these new interns with like emotional face. Like I needed there to be a private moment between her, Bailey, and Richard, you know?
Or like,
because they're the three OGs.
Or like her sisters. Like we've talked about before,
right?
That season finale where all the sisters are dancing at the house together. Like,
yeah.
Like that is it. That's the way Meredith should go out. Okay. I know. I actually know what I'm thinking. Now that I've talked about this, because I didn't feel settled about the fact when I was saying things about Derek and the sun. It's not just about Derek. It's about her community. And like, she's not the sun because like, she's in the community with people. You know, she's not just solely focused on herself. She was a good friend and she would always bring people in and all these different things. Her sisters. And so for her to just like end, for it to end the way it does with people not even being able to give speeches about her just doesn't ring true for her character.
Agreed. I think that could be a TED talk.
Yeah.
It didn't hit and I'm sad about it. And that's our last episode with Meredith.
Yeah. I mean, we have one more.
I mean, it's her last one at the hospital.
Yeah. The last thing I will say about it is we have spent how many years watching this show, and I think we've said this before, but it's just really disappointing that that's how they wrote that storyline. I'm still disappointed by it. Yeah.
It was devastating to watch because we had such high hopes for it. And yeah, we've put so much time into, even without this podcast, just watching and like having that character as a part of our lives. And then that's how it is signs off. Is just, it's disrespectful.
Yeah. So I just wish she would have left sooner because I think she was just so ready to get out of there by this point.
I think so too. I mean, like emotions wise, the one scene Amelia had talking about to that mother about Christopher and her walking away looking up was 100 times more emotional than any of the things that Meredith was in, you know?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
That was such a – I'm sliding us over to that storyline a little bit, which I guess it was cool. I will say the patience in these two episodes, I was – I liked the the patient storylines were well done, and I felt a little invested in them, like the baby Arlo. That was really cool. And then the way Amelia talked to that mom, and then like the Jermaine was like very interesting. You know, like I felt my heart strings being pulled. But Amelia's speech – was so good and actually well written. The part when she says, like she's just talking about it, and then she gets to her point about like if there had been a chance, even if it's like dangerous and small, like I would have taken it. And then like that following when she finds out that it did work and her walking away was like so gut-wrenching.
Yeah. It was. And I love like, that's like a really well done moment in Grey's, like a callback to a character's past and bringing it into like the present scenario. Like sometimes Grey's tries to do it and it like doesn't land. But I think that was a really good example of how like pulling things from private practice. Yeah, I thought it was really well done.
I thought it was just so good. I also liked in that same storyline having interns compete for something again, because it's been like kind of like I said with Mika's character, it's like fun to see someone who cares so much about medicine. And like in my head, I was like, well, there's Maggie and she like loves medicine, but she came in as an expert. Like to watch someone fall in love with medicine from the beginning and not really know enough. And the way she goes to Helm to like negotiate to get her help, I love that part. And then I loved her winning the skill thing and being involved in the surgery. Like I just that it's been a long time since they've done that. And I do think that's what made the show successful in the beginning is that they were novices. They weren't experts. And now all the main characters are experts. So I'm happy they put these new interns in. I just wish it was like a different show. But like that is refreshing to watch.
Yeah, I'm curious. We're episodes 7 and 8. Okay, so we're like 8 episodes in. Are you feeling more connected to the interns by this point? Because I feel like this was the part where I started becoming more invested in their storylines.
Yes, I'm so over the other characters that like it's like I have no choice. But at the same time, it's fun to see new romance, even though it's dumb, whatever writing with the, you know, Trey, the fiance of it all. It's fun to have that like, oh, my God, you know, like shock factor. It's all new and refreshing, and like it feels so much better than like Teddy or than Winston and Maggie fighting again. You know, like I that's not exciting to me.
Yeah, I would agree. I think we talked about this last time, but I want to bring it up again. I really wish that I'm kind of transitioning into the moving into the house thing. I wish they would have done like a montage scene when Simone was looking around. Yeah, and looking around the house. I know it maybe wouldn't have made that much sense because she's seeing the house, but like there just felt like there was there just felt like there was such an opportunity to use that space for us. Especially because it is like that was Meredith's last episode, right?
That would have been so good.
Yeah. So
I can't believe they didn't do that. Like, how did no one think of that? And I remember at the time there were some TikToks that were made that were like, this is what that scene should have been. And it like had that. I just don't know. Why did the professionals not put that in there?
I don't know. Also, how do three surgeons know how to fix a hole in an attic? They are not contractors. Who just leaves their house and like with a hole in the attic? And is like, and I imagine there was probably like, when there's smoke? A fire in a house, you have to like clear it for smoke. And like, it's not just a quick little thing where you can be like, oh, there was a hole. You can move in now. That's crazy.
Yeah. And Meredith even said, I think some time must have passed between those two episodes because between 6 and 7, because Mare and Nick are like fighting again. And she's like, we've been living in a hotel packing. The house was full of smoke. So like, I'm wondering if enough time has passed that like they did do the clearing out part of that, you know, the house.
Okay. That makes more sense.
Cause it's otherwise she would have like chose to move to Boston and then moved the next day. So I think there was like a time chunk there.
That makes more sense. But also, who leaves their house with a hole in the attic? Like, I'm going to move across the country and not sell this home. Like, bats would get in there.
Yeah, there was a missed opportunity there, and I'm choosing to look past it, and I'm choosing to be refreshed by even the scene when they're like fixing up the house, and you know, Benson is just drinking beer, Jules is handing them out. Lucas is shirtless. Like, why? But also, I feel like it's something like Karev would have done senior year. Wow. What does that even mean? in season one. And then I almost said freshman year.
That makes no sense.
No, nothing makes sense. So like, I don't know. I like that. I even will say, because I'm trying to find things that are positive so that we're not just shitting on this the whole time. The like, gasp, like Simone, her fiance is there. We learn in the episode before that she was engaged because she's wearing the ring on her neck. Uh-huh. But then we find out she legit is engaged. She lied about that. So,
we don't quite know yet because he says, I should have come sooner.
Okay, that's true. You're right. So we know who he is, I guess, this person.
Yeah.
And she calls Lucas her roommate, which is like the ultimate. Like kick a man while he's down.
Yeah. Well, because they're like coming into the house practically holding hands, about to run upstairs and have sex, and then he's there. I loved that part. I loved when she like kisses him in the elevator. I was like, oh, this is very exciting. And then Trey being there, I thought was like exciting television.
Yeah. It was. It was not at all. Nothing will ever be the same as to when Addison showed up in TV history. But like, it's giving the same shock factor, you know, of just like, oh, my God, I thought this was going to be too easy, you know?
Yeah.
I will say by the end of season 19, she like doesn't get married. So I almost wish she'd gotten married and then we still had like a whole nother season of like tension, you know?
But they do kind of like fight at the end or something, don't they?
True. Yeah. They're not together, but still like, I'm like, well, I guess they don't want her to get legally married to someone, but I hope it builds for longer. Even though I hated Rose with Derek, you know, it made the payoff so much better though.
It did. I agree.
Ugh.
God, I miss that.
House of Candles.
Oh, I wish we could go back. Maybe we'll start it over again. Should we talk briefly about Link?
Yeah, dude, that sucks.
Yeah, sure does.
That's all I'm going to say, man. That blows. Also, that was so sad. I loved that character. I loved the way Simone interacted with him. He was so sweet and so cute. I loved his mom on the FaceTime. It just wasn't fair. It was so devastating.
Yeah. I think that's all really have to say about it. It was really
like
sad.
When What's-Her-Face died of hiccups, it's like it's something that's not supposed to be what happens, you know?
Yeah.
But is a reality of having any type of surgery. And so that just killed me. And I also feel bad for Link. And also him being sad and drunk and trying to kiss Joe is so similar to Alex.
Oh, Alex and Izzy. Sad.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And also it's double sad because Joe does end up caring for Link. You know what I mean? And it takes Link a while. Oh, so it's like we're in the beginning of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I feel like it's many episodes.
Have they had sex yet?
Yeah. Remember they were like friends with benefits and they stopped.
That was
having
last
sex.
Season. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's going to suck. I love when Teddy's like, oh, shit. I'm the chief.
I know, like this huge PR thing happens and it's like, fuck, I have to. But of course, Owen's the one being like, no comment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Owen. Them walking out with a paparazzi was very, it gave me like Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake in the 90, or in the 2000s. But that's probably because I'm reading that book.
It is, but probably. Like, yeah. But I see the connection the way you're making.
They walked out with their kids, you know. I liked that her Allison bit Prue.
Well, it reminds me because didn't Tuck bite another like kid back in the day?
I can't remember.
I think he did it because like that's why Bailey was like, I get it, like kids bite or whatever. Like it's okay. So I think that was a callback.
That must be weird when you and your friends have kids and then your kid does something like stupid to the other kid and you're just like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. My child bit your child.
It's like when my dog humps someone else's dog. I'm like, I'm so sorry. He doesn't know.
He can't make choices. He can't make smart choices.
He might try to kill Marge, which is why they can never meet.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I mean, I think they could be on separate floors, but he is small enough that he would hunt your cat.
Oh, yeah. We don't need that. We don't need Marge being
hunted.
I don't
think he would do anything to her, but I think he'd get up in her face and then she'd be pissed. And she's old. She doesn't need that.
Yeah. She would hiss and then she'd probably bat her little paws.
Which would be fine. He would deserve it. But then I think she'd be tired.
Yeah. Too tired. Too tired. We're all just too tired.
A big fight. What about Maggie and Winston? How do you feel about Winston's accusations now? So we talked how we hated what Maggie said and we agreed with Winston. What do you think about Winston calling Maggie cold?
I don't think it's fair. I mean, they're just taking jabs at each other, right? Like they're really not, they're missing what the other person is trying to say and they're criticizing each other. And like,
what's that called when Brené talks about, or it's not, it's that those old couple that she always interviews where they talk about like when someone makes,
oh, the Gottmans, it's the, yeah, it's the,
yeah, Gottmans. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. It's the four horsemen. So the criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and, stonewalling.
The only thing that I got like annoyed by, well, when he called her that, was I was like, oh fuck, is the next episode the one where the ghost of Ellis comes? But that's definitely coming up.
That already happened.
It did?
That's when she gets like a fever.
Yeah, and that happened in season 18. Yeah, this is what's hard about podcasting about a show that like you've only seen the season once.
Yeah, that already happened.
Oh, thank God. I was so nervous I was going to have to watch that again.
Yeah, because remember like Meredith comes home and they like burn the letter together or whatever?
Yeah, no, I know I've watched it, but I guess I didn't realize we podcasted about it.
Sure did.
Ugh. Well, it could fit here as well because she's being called cold and unemotional, you know?
So, yeah, what did you think Ellis of that? Thing.
I don't think he was wrong in that moment for her to be like, I just still think Winston's reason, like she thinks he's giving up this passion and yeah, he's good at it, but like he can also save lives another way. I feel like she's just missing his point, you know? She thinks he's weak and I actually think he's like making a sacrifice for their marriage, and he's not resenting it. I don't think he would like go to another specialty and then be mad at her about it. He's literally making the choice himself.
Right.
So.
Right. I mean, she's having a hard time stepping out of herself because she would never do that. And so thinking like someone else could do that,
it doesn't make sense to her. Which I can empathize with that.
Yeah.
I can empathize with that like mindset. Mm-hmm. Also, if I remember correctly, her, when she leaves in the season as well, there's something to do with Ellis and, you know, like, so I think she does struggle with like, oh my God, did I inherit that part of my biological mother?
Yes. Yeah. I think you're right. I think it was important that they showed an abortion from start to finish.
This is the second one. They've shown both ways now, essentially. Yeah. I mean, they didn't show the pill, but they talked that patient through it.
Right.
So I thought that was really, that's their way of fighting back against what's happening in the real world.
Yeah. And it was like not dramatic at all. You know, like I love that they didn't like dramatize it and make it like seem super stressful or like it was just like here's step by step. And like, thank you so much.
Have yeah. And the way the partner was supportive of her, too. I think that was like a choice, you know, like she's on the phone with her.
I love that. I had a note about this too, because we know that so many people who choose to get abortions already have children. Like, and so I thought it was really important too. It wasn't like someone who was coming in who, like, this is choice is important for people who are single or unexpected or whatever, like, that's all fine too. But I like that the storyline was like, oh, we have a child or like two children, we're married and we're making a choice together that like we don't have the capacity to do this again.
Yes.
You know, like, I thought that was
there was
great.
So much that was like so good about real life, like how birth control can not work for some people. Not that it doesn't work in preventing pregnancy, but it doesn't work for other reasons, like mental yeah. and physical, which is very true. It's very hard on a woman's body to be on birth control for some women. And also that condoms do break. Like, they were using protection. It's not like they weren't, because that's also what someone would point to, you know. Yeah. And postpartum depression, like, it hit yeah. all of the things. She left without shame. Her doctors didn't shame her, and they called her a good mom, which I thought was really great as well. So
yeah so I thought that was great. That
thank
thing.
God Owen wasn't in the room. He'd be like, can I have your baby? I will take it.
Oh, fucking Owen.
He would have. He's collecting them all.
He would. You're right. We're going to talk about Teddy and becoming chief in post-op.
I have just a couple random notes. The speech that Bailey started to give, it started out strong because she called Gray one of my greatest points of pride. And then it fell from there. I will say, as much as I hated that she didn't give a speech, I did love her like ruminating afterwards and being like, that's what I meant to say. like she just like, that kind of feels Bailey like. I also, why was there a lava lamp at Joe's?
Oh my God, I have that like note too.
Yeah, Nick is, it like zooms in on Nick's face and there's just a lava lamp.
Yeah, that was really odd.
Also, the airplane Meredith was in, maybe she was in first class. Those airplane seats were massive. I have just been on an airplane, and those are not the seats that I sat in.
No.
They're so big.
I have a few notes here. The happy Meredith cake was ridiculous. Also, when the cake arrives, her children just start picking at the frosting. Like, those children are disgusting. Like, get your gross little grubby hands out of this cake. Like, how rude that you didn't teach your children not to stick their fingers in a cake. The Bailey speech was really bad. This place won't be the same without you. Okay. And then the only other note I have that is very random is when they're doing the valve, like, replacement thing, the partial heart transplant, it looks like chicken.
Oh, maybe it is.
I wondered if it was. Like, it looks like when you cut off the little, like, gross parts of chicken breasts.
Is that because you have butter chicken on the mind?
No, because I hadn't made the butter chicken yet when I was watching it. It literally looked like chicken.
Crap. So. Also, Maggie is writing that report about that surgery, and I'm pretty sure, doesn't she not include Winston? And isn't this, like, what also makes them fight? Or, like, something? There's something to do with, like, him not getting the right amount of credit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think
you're
right.
There's something
there. Other than that,
we'll save the chief talk for post-op, so let's get into notes and trivia.
This episode's title originated from the song I'll Follow the Sun, originally sung by the Beatles.
It scored 3.6 million viewers.
This episode marks Alan Pompeo's last on-screen appearance as Meredith Grey for the season until the season finale. Trailers and other promotional material for the episode branded the episode Meredith's Farewell to Seattle.
So dumb. I knew this. This episode's title originated from the song All Star, originally sung by Smash Mouth, Rest in Peace.
Oh, yeah. Wow. This episode scored 3.8 million viewers.
It is the 100th appearance of Jake Borelli as Levi Schmidt.
Scott Speedman is not credited in this episode, nor does he appear, leaving his status as main cast member unsure at this point. Richard briefly mentions that Nick left for a few days, though no further explanation is given for his absence. Nick also did not appear in When I Get to the Border earlier in the season, yet Scott was credited for that episode.
In a deleted scene, Levi stole Lucas's bag of nuts from him in the OR gallery and ate them himself. How dare. Is it crazy that Mare is probably not going to get our Catherine Fox Award last episode in Seattle?
I know, right? That is – no, but she – I think Amelia should get it.
Yeah, I was going to say she's the only one that did anything.
Or Joe. I mean, Joe did a good job too.
Yeah, but then she didn't kiss Link, and I think she should have.
All right, so Amelia. We'll give it to Amelia.
Yep. Okay, these I'm going to rate higher than last week's. I will say the patient storylines. I sent you a selfie of me a little emotional. I shouldn't be watching baby things where they dying. Literally, my doctor told me not to. So I'm going to give these a 6.5. That's pretty high for season 19.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'll probably give the ending scene a 6.5. Other than that, I will give them a 5.75.
Oh, wow. I don't know if we've ever done 0.75s, but I like it.
I did it. I did it today. Because I'm not quite to a 6, but that I liked that ending scene a lot.
Great. Thanks so much for listening. Stick around for post-op if you're listening on the Patreon app. Otherwise, thank you for supporting us. And time of death is 2006.
Beep.